Personally, about some people, they just get real lax and just don't seem to have much energy, just sort of lethargy. You might work with somebody like that in a workplace, and what's the expression that we use? They need a fire lit under them. They need to get a little bit of fire under them. Well, spiritually speaking, there's times that we need the fire lit under us. And I'm the same way. I'm as human as you are. Sometimes I need the fire lit under me. Amen. Everything's not always wonderful and good. There's times that I get to feel, and I tend to go down that path like, wow, what do we gain? Is anything really going on? Just keep going through the same thing, just going over and over. I need the fire lit under me. Amen. I need the fire lit under me. And so you might be in here tonight and you need the fire of God lit up down inside of you so that you go out into this world, not with a fake excitement, not with a, my pastor told me to do so, but with just something bubbling out of you. It's like that song we sing. It's bubbling in my soul. There was a lady one time that she was so blessed and different things, and I this might have been back in the day of Jack Cole revivals. He was an evangelist at Wet, and I might be getting two stories mixed together, but she would just get so blessed by God, and they took her, and she was in a church service, and she would become disruptive because of her shouting and her praising God. So they thought, man, we can't do this. She's bringing an embarrassment to us. What are we going to do? They said, we're going to put her here over in this side room of the church. We're going to put her over there by herself. And we're not even going to let her have a Bible. We're just going to give her a song book. And that surely is going to keep her quiet, and so we can have our organized service go on here. Man, she was over there, and the service was going to what they thought was good and wonderful. And then all of a sudden, they heard her shouting, and they heard her praising God. And they had to go over and see what in the world was going on with her. And she got into that book, and she found the song in there about the blood of Jesus. Man, she just got excited all over and had a good shouting spell. And it may have been the same woman. They went to the store. She was just very expressionate. Just spontaneous praise would come out of her. And she went into a store somewhere, and she was in one aisle, and the people that were with her, I don't know if they were ashamed of her or what, didn't know what she was going to do. There might have been an aisle or two over. And all of a sudden, they just heard her shouting and praising God. Remember, I'm talking about having the fire of God down in you. They heard her shouting and praising God. They thought, what in the world could she be shouting and praising God about here in the store? And they went over there and they're like, dear sister, what in the world are you shouting and praising about? She said, I came down this aisle and I seen those bottles of ketchup, and it reminded me of the blood of Jesus, and I just had to give praise to God. That's having some fire down in your soul. That's having some fire down in your soul. I would love it if we had, if you want to call those problems, I would love to have those kind of problems in the church, if you call them problems, where someone's just spontaneous in their worship, and they'll just see something and remind them of the blood of Jesus, and they'll get up, and they'll have to spin around a couple times, or get up and run around the church. And back in the day, there used to be the power of God, and it would move and work, and I don't mean it in the sense that God doesn't move anymore, and God would begin to move on some of the older saints of God. They didn't get up and shout, dance, and jump about, but they would just be there lost in God, and their hands would be prayed or raised before God. And they would just be lost in praise and worship, and they would come out of their seat just a little bit and just move ever so slowly in worshiping and praising God. And then they would go into a spiritually anointed song that they would just be singing, giving praise and glory to God. Not just praying like we pray, but their prayer was coming out like a song of worship before God. We need to see more times like that. Amen. And those people had that because they had some fire underneath them. Amen. They were lit a fire by God. So let the fire of God burn in your heart and in your soul tonight. Amen. Because God will do that. I get water, and Friday night I sure could have used some of fellowship, and I wasn't sure which one to drink. And the one I was going to drink, and I'm glad I didn't, was the one that Pastor Fraser drinks from. He goes, I drank from that one. You take that one over there. I asked him afterward. Because you get going, Brother Kyle knows about it. You get real dry sometimes. You just don't want to stop and take a drink. You just keep going. Amen. Pretty soon your lips are all parched and you're thinking, man. And I remember preachers that I used to see this, and I used to think, why don't they stop and take a hanky and wipe their mouth? They would just get to speaking. It's almost like they were foaming at the mouth. Right on the corners of their lips, it would turn all white. And it's like, man, it's tough to look at, but God was really anointing them. And I thought, wow, I hope I never look like that. Amen. So if I start having all that stuff building up on the corners of my mouth, you need to go past. Just come, whosoever will. You have your Bibles with you tonight for a few moments of time. Psalms chapter 37. Just a scripture that I want to look at. And thank you for your consideration and your giving this morning. We was able to send our brother, Ryan Lewis. We was able to send him away with a good offering from this church. Amen. In 10 days. So now he's headed to Kenya, Africa. He's going to do a 10-day visit over there. And shortly thereafter, he's going. And he told me, he did say, it's okay to say Guyana. He said, some people say it that way. So that's how I'm going to say it. And so shortly he's going to be returning to Guyana. And he wasn't just being nice when he said it. He was serious. He said, that's how some people say that. And so thank you for that offering this morning. It was greatly appreciated by him. Amen. For his endeavors in ministry. Psalms chapter 37, verses 23 and 24. We're going to look at those two verses, focus in on them. But this psalm is the true state of the wicked. And it's a psalm of David that goes through. But then as it gets down to about verse 22, it switches gear for a short period of time here, and it talks about, instead of the true state of the wicked, it talks about what a good man is and how God blesses a good man. And so we're going to look at tonight at the thought of the steps of a good man. Psalms chapter 37, 23 to 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And we'll read a few more. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. So he's really talking about what's going to happen to the wicked and the blessing of the Lord. And there's a song that was written many years ago, and I was going to look the lyrics to it up, but I didn't. But it's that song called, at least the words are in here, Direct My Steps, Lord, Direct My Steps. Lead me, guide me. You're ever there beside me, something like that. It's a good song. We need to want God to direct our steps. And there's a lot of ways to look that. Look at that. How is God going to direct my steps? As I get up day by day, I'm going to say, God, direct my steps today. Lead me. Because the word says there in 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so my steps are going to be ordered by the Lord. God, where are you going to have me to go today? What are you going to have me do today? That could be one application that we can look at it as, but we can look at it in a couple of different other applications we can put on that. And that is the first one that we want to think about a little bit. God is in control of everything that happens in our lives, and he has a plan for us. God is in control of everything that happens in our lives, and he has a plan for us. Amen. And think about it. There was different ones. There was a testimony here tonight, and we don't like to name names. We're on Facebook Live, so we're not going to do that. And even if we weren't, I probably wouldn't do that. But we look at some, and they desire to be in God's house, and they want to be in God's house. And really, it's a persecution that even happens here in our own country where they're not permitted to be in God's house. The family or whatever forbids them to be in God's house. And we could look at that and think, wow, what's that all about? But we need to remember, even in situations like that, God is in control of everything. He sees situations like that where ones that have a true desire, they want to go to God, they want to go to God's house, they want to go and worship God, but they're not permitted to do so. God is in control of that situation. He is in control of everything that happens in our lives. The good things that happen, the bad things that happen. God is in control. Now, if there's bad things happening in your life, if that's for reasons that's brought on to you by your own actions, that's a different story. But we look at Job. Job didn't do anything wrong for all those bad things to begin to happen to him. And because something comes upon someone as a saint of God, it doesn't necessarily mean they have committed some sin against God, and this is God pouring his judgment out upon them. Those things are past figuring out, finding out. God is sovereign. But we know this much, God is in control of everything that happens in our lives, and He has a plan for us. There's many examples that we could look at in the Old Testament. I think of Joseph, and I hope you've done it recently, near along the end of the book of Genesis there, the story of Joseph begins to unfold, and you look at of all the horrible things that happened to him, and he was thrown down into a pit, and he was sold down into Egypt, and it was just down, 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 and he was sent down into prisons. You've probably all heard sermons about that. It wasn't looking good for him, but God was in control of everything that was happening in Joseph's life, and because we see the whole story, now we see, oh, it makes sense. Now we see why God was letting happen. Things happen the way that they happen, because there was just going to be this famine that was going to happen in Israel, and there were going to be hungry people, and so he was sending Joseph down there to pave the way, so when that day came, that was a lot of years from the time that he was sold by his brothers, the evil things they did to him, but yet it all worked out for the good because God had a plan for Joseph's life. But Joseph, I don't think, appreciated all the things he was going through. He probably wondered why when he was in that pit. Why did my brothers do this to me? And then they pulled him out. He probably thought, yippee, I'm going to get to go home. They're going to have mercy on me. And then what? You're going to send me with these merchants? And they're headed down to Egypt? And we read the story, and we don't have the discourse that went on. There had to be conversation that went on amongst the brothers with Joseph. Joseph, I don't think he just was silent about it. He come out and had a muff over his mouth and didn't say anything. He probably was pleading with his brothers, what are you doing about this? He might have been saying, you wait until daddy finds out about this. You're really going to be in trouble. You're really going to pay for this, because he had something to say. And so in himself, we look at the story and think he was just meek and humble, and he just knew that God had a plan and this is the way it was going to work out. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Yeah. Everything that happens in our lives, God has a plan for us. We have to remember that. And then another way that we can look at this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It tells us this, that God has given directions to the way his people should live in this world. And it's what I just said. I believe all of that. But for the interpretation of this scripture here, I have the tendency to feel it's more along this time, this way, the way that a steps man, or the way of a good man, his steps are ordered by the Lord, is that God has given directions to the way his people should live in this world. So if we're a good man, we're followers of Jesus. We are endeavoring to do what this word says. We're endeavoring to do what thus saith the Lord. Therefore, that makes us a good person. We know that anyone in and of themselves are not good, and they're not able to be. You, in and of yourself, are not able to be good. As good as you think you might be, and as good as you maybe really are, you can't do that in and of yourself. We need the help of God to be a good person, to be a good man. But we know this also. When one accepts Christ, they are clothed in a robe of righteousness. And that's Isaiah 61:10. When they accept Christ, they are clothed in a robe of righteousness. I have known people in my lifetime that were good people. They were more godly acting than some Christians that I knew. And shame on the Christians that weren't being as good as they should be in naming the name of Christ. I've been in situations before in places where I've worked, and they'll get to talking about somebody in the community, and I don't know if that's ever happened to you, and it really hits close to home if it's somebody that goes to your church and their name comes up in conversation, and the gang of guys or ladies begin to talk about what kind of a scrundle they are, how they take advantage of things, how they're not really there for the company. They're always trying to take shortcuts, and they're just always this and always that. Man, you just have to sort of hang your head in shame and think, I don't want to have any association with them. But we, in and of ourselves, we are not able to be a good man. But when we accept Christ, and he clothes us in that robe of righteousness, and it's at that time then that God no longer sees our sinfulness. Amen. When he puts that robe of salvation upon us, and all that God can see in you, after we experience that in Isaiah 61:10, all that God can see in you when he looks at you is all he can see is Jesus. Do you know your righteousness and your holiness isn't you? It's that Jesus that is in you.
That's right.
Because if we really look at ourselves, Listen, you know yourself. You can fool me, you can fool your husband, you can fool your wife, you can fool your children, but you can't fool God. But God, even though their shortcomings are there, when God looks at us, all as he can see is Jesus. Because if God seen the real me, if God seen the real you, he would just wipe us out. We would be gone. We wouldn't exist anymore. Our breath would be taken out of us. So that we thank God for the work of Jesus Christ on that cross. And when we accept him, that's all that God sees in us is Jesus. And that's what makes you a good man. That's what makes you a good woman. And the actions are going to fall. You're going to have good actions. You're going to have good deeds. And I think it's Acts 10:38. Everywhere that Jesus went, he was doing good. Amen. He was doing good. He was helping. He was showing people how to live a better way. Jesus didn't come into this world to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I shared this on Friday night at fellowship meeting. We don't have to go out there condemning the sinner. They're already condemned and they know they are. We don't have to tell them how evil it is, the things that they're involved in. They know that they're involved in evil things. And Jesus, when he met that woman at the well, he didn't tell her about all the evil things she was doing and how she shouldn't be doing those things. He showed her a better way to live. He showed her a better way to live. And if we're going to be like Jesus, we need to do the same thing. Oh, that song that was written, and I'm sure it was based on a scripture. When Jesus looks at us, he looked beyond our faults. He didn't see our faults and stop there and think, I don't want them to name my name. I don't want them to be one of my children. God looked at our faults and he looked beyond our faults and saw our needs. God looks into faults of people and he thinks within himself, I would like to get into the heart of that person because I could really make a difference in their life. They could really be changed. And as the scripture says, when we accept Christ, the old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. God wants to work in our life. That's how it happens. And so when we have God, when we have Jesus in our heart, all that God can see in me is Jesus. And I thank God for that. And I thank God for the love of Jesus. That when I step out of line, Jesus doesn't leave me. He said in his word, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you unto the end. And he was tempted in all points as we are, but yet without sin. And he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, the feelings we have when we're facing temptation. He had those feelings. He knows how strong, and the devil tempted him. He knows how strong that the devil's pull is in our life. And because we are of flesh the way that we are, and he was God in the flesh, so it was a little bit different. And he knows that from time to time, possibly they're going to stumble and fall. And he doesn't leave us and forsake us. I like to think that it's times like that, when we feel like we're really failing God, and we're not doing so good. And it goes along with that story you heard of a footprints in the sand. I like to think it's at times like that that Jesus just picks us up in his arms and he's carrying us and he's oohing over us and he's comforting us and he's helping us and he's encouraging us. So Psalms 37:23, it's directed towards the Christian. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. They're ordered by the Lord. That means that they're established by the Lord. The steps of a sinner man are not ordered by the Lord, because he's not walking according to thus saith the Lord. He's going in his own ways. So in verse 23, we can see that a good man, number one, his steps are directed, and God delights in this person's walk, and he delighteth in his ways. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and it's God, and he delighteth in his ways. Amen. His steps are directed by God. The steps of a good man are directed by God. And how does God direct a good man's steps? It's right here, none other than in the Word of God. Amen. That's where we can walk the way that God wants us to walk. God called David. What did God say about David? God said in 1 Samuel 13 that David is a man after mine own heart. He's a man after mine own heart. He really has a hunger for me. In one of the Psalms that David wrote, he says, as the deer pants after the water brook, Lord, oh, so my soul pants after you. And David, he experienced God's direction in his life. But we also know the sins of David and how that David felt short. And when you hear the name of David and you begin to think about his life, I honestly don't think there's anybody that really knows the Word of God when they begin to think about David. We have to be careful how we let our thinking go when we think about David. We all think about the sin that he committed with Bathsheba. We think about that. We think how terrible that he did that. How could that man do that? And yet we look at the other side, and God said, he's a man after mine own heart. And David himself said, as the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul, Lord, pants after you. Another one of his psalms, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He would rather dwell with the saints of God than in the tents of wickedness. That's another one of the psalms that he wrote. He had a heart that was really after God, but he felt short occasionally. Amen. And fell into things that he shouldn't have done. Even after he was king, he fell into a mistake. He went and numbered the people of Israel, and God didn't want him to number those people. He didn't want David to know how many men of war that he had, how many people there were, so that David could begin to think and become puffed up within himself. Well, we did this because we're mighty in number, and there was a price to pay for that. That God gave him a couple of choices of what was going to happen. Either this can happen or that can happen. And David, he was wise in this. He says, God, you do what you will. I'm not going to choose at number one or A or B. He goes, you do as you will. And God decided how he was going to correct David over that. So you see, even David, after a man after God's own heart, his steps are ordered by the Lord. He faltered and he failed in some areas of his life. And so that should be an encouragement to you tonight. That shouldn't be a green ticket for you to think, well, I'm glad you're saying that, Pastor, because boy, I've really been falling short in some areas. And now I got the green light that's quite all right. That's to be expected. Because David, he probably desired God more than I desired God. And even he fumbled and failed. So I'm surely going to fall short. We shouldn't think of it that way. That's not the way it should be. But that's letting us know about the love of Jesus. That even when that happens, God, he understands. Amen. He understands. He's forgiving. Jesus didn't kick Peter out of heaven and off of the roll that he could no longer be one of his disciples when Peter denied Jesus not one time, not two times, but three times. And not only that, he cursed and swore. He wanted to act like everybody else was acting. I don't even know who this man is. How in the world could Peter say something like that? This history tells us, that those that study deep into God's word say it was about 3.5 years that Jesus had his ministry. Peter was with him for those 3.5 years, and he's intertwined through all the gospels. I mean, he was very bold and outspoken. And then Peter turned around and says, I don't even know who that man is. How in the world could he do something like that? You talk about cutting somebody right in the heart, and the expression that's used is somebody says something that's sort of against you, you can say, oh, that was right in my heart. Man, you really got me. That got Jesus in his heart, but he didn't throw Peter out of heaven. In fact, on that cross, and I just shared this a short time ago, whenever Jesus was on that cross, after Peter had done that, there's one of the gospels that talks about it. Jesus made eye contact with Peter. Peter made eye contact with Jesus. Jesus looked on Peter. And he knew what Peter had done. Peter knew what he had done. And Peter thought, it's the end of the line. I've done the unpardonable. There's no hope for me now. And so then Peter went out, and he did like Judas did. He went out and hung himself. No, he didn't do that. He went out and he repented. He wept bitterly. He repented of that. And nowhere in the scripture can you ever see where Peter ever denied Jesus again. His steps were being ordered by the Lord. And so that again is showing us. So what I'm talking about there, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Jesus is a forgiving Jesus. If I was in a situation and I needed help and everybody was against me and you were the only one around that really knew me, it could help me get me out. Help get me out of the situation that I was in. And you, and I would look at you, and you would look at me, and you outright refused to help me. And that's a denial that you even knew who I was. You could care less what happened to me. I think I would have a hard time forgiving you after that. After the dust all settles, I get out of the situation. I would think, you know, I could use any one of you for an example, but I don't want to pick any names out. I think I would have problems forgiving you for that. I'm human. I would think, how could you do that to me? Man, we've hung out for 3.5 years. You've traveled with me. You know me inside out. And you said you didn't even know who I was. And you cursed and you swore. And you were acting like all the rest of the people that were there in that situation. I'm done with you. But that shows you the love and mercy of Jesus. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so when the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, that doesn't mean that God dictates. dictates our way. He dictates our way. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So we're little robots. We get up in the morning. Well, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God, what is it that you want me to do today? And they say in the past there's been some people, and there's probably some right now, because they're not taught, that they're not learned in the Word of God. And Lord, they wake up. Jesus, do you want me to get out of bed? Yes, I want you to get out of bed. They sit up on the edge of the bed. Jesus, do you want me to put socks on today? Yes, I want you to put socks on today. Jesus, what color socks do you want me to wear today? What clothes do you want me to put on today? What shoes do you want me to wear today? What breakfast do you want me? It's not that way. God doesn't dictate to us that way. God gives us free choice, but in all that we say and do, we are to bring honor and glory to God. It doesn't mean that God's going to dictate our way. Amen. With His Word, His Word is our roadmap in this Christian life, and everything God wants us to know is found in His Word. That's how He directs your steps. That's how He orders your steps. It's written in the Word of God. That's why you need to get into the Word of God. And churches will stress that, and I stress that a lot. Get into the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. You're having problems with situations. You don't know what to do. Get into the Word of God. The help you need for every situation that you can find in life, you can find answers in the Word of God. I'm going to go for secular counseling. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. Sometimes we need to get into the Word of God, and we can find that rest. We can find that comfort. We can find that direction. We can find that peace that God has for us. So all the answers that I ever need, all the answers that you ever need are found in God's Word. It's found in God's Word. And if you don't understand how your situation is found in God's Word, get a hold of another brother or sister in Christ. Get a hold of your pastor. Get a hold of somebody. Explain your situation to them a little bit and say, what does the Word of God have to say about this situation that I'm in? And I'm sure that they can guide you to an example in the Word of God where you'll find your answer in the Word of God. Amen. What a book this is. It has the answers of life in it. The problems of life, the answers are right here in God's Word. And so all the answers you need are found in God's Word. And to how we should respond in any situation that you face. You may be facing some situations right now that you're uncomfortable with. And you just don't know. I could go this way. I could go that way. I could say this. I could say that. I just don't know. What should I do? The answers are right here in God's Word. You will find it in God's Word for every situation, how you should respond. And so what do we need to do? We need to study the Word of the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. If you want your steps to be ordered by the Lord, then you need to study the Word of God, and God will order your steps. He will show you the way that you should go. And so if we follow the Scripture, then and only then, and this is the key part of what I'm saying tonight, if you follow the Scriptures, then and only then can God order your steps. If you're not following the Scripture, God can't order your steps. You follow the Scripture, and then and only then can God order your steps. And I want God to order my steps. And the second part is God also delights in the ways of a good man. Matthew 16:24 says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. God delights in that. When a man denies himself and he takes up in his cross and he follows God. And so to deny ourselves is to yield our will to God. That's how your steps can be ordered by the Lord. How can my steps be ordered by the Lord? Lord, you think about this. Jesus was at a critical point in his life here upon this earth. And they were coming for him. And he knew they were. And he was very disturbed because he was living in a body like we are. He was feeling the emotions. He was feeling the nerves. He was feeling the anxiety of it. And he was praying. He was in great anguish. And the Bible says that his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. And at one time in that garden when he was praying, and it doesn't give all the words that he was saying, because it says, after he said a lot of words, he said, God, this is what I think. And this is where we're going to get our steps ordered by the Lord. And he said to God, he says, nevertheless, although, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Is there any, and I don't think it was just like, Lord, if it's possible, just let this cup pass from me. It's going to be a tough thing. And I don't think I can really, I think there was anguish here. It was coming from his heart. He says, God, oh God, Oh God, my Father, if it is possible, if there's any way that we, if there's any other way that we can do this thing, let it pass from me. Let it go from me. It's just too much. I just don't think I can do this. It's just a heavy load. I'm really feeling it. Just let it happen some other way. He was saying that. We can pray to God like that. But then, this is what we need to do if our steps are going to be ordered by the Lord. Nevertheless, even though I feel this way, he says, even though I feel that way, nevertheless, not what I want, God, but let your will be done. And remember what I started out by saying tonight. I started saying this. God is in control of everything that happens in our lives, and he has a plan for us. Nevertheless, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. Whatever you're facing tonight, God, this is just too much for me. I'm going to crack under the load. It's just something heavy. It's just gnawing away at me, and I can't do it. God, just remove this thing from my life. And we call it an oppression by the enemy. And the devil certainly was oppressing Jesus when that time was coming. The enemy was really warring against him. There was a spiritual warfare going on there in that garden. And there's a spiritual warfare going on in your life. And as you pray to God at times, and how many times have we done this about situations that we're facing? God, just let this be done already. I just can't do this. I just don't want to go through this. But then we stop with our prayer right there. I think we need to learn to add in there, God, even though that's how I feel, after it's all said and done, God, I want your will to be done. Because, God, you sure do know I'm not appreciating this. I don't want to go through this. I'm not liking what I'm going through. But, God, nevertheless, even though I want out of this, God, do what you're doing in me. Let your will be done. Sister Judy can come up to the music tonight. Amen. We got to let go and let God do what he wants to do in us. And that's what it's all about. Jesus let go and he let God do what he wanted to do in him. After Peter denied Jesus, Jesus could have just thought, I can't believe this. That's just too much for me. In the darkest hour of my life, I thought Peter was one of my dearest friends. Now he's turning into an enemy, saying he don't even know who I am. If anybody ever felt alone in Jesus, there's going to be times that you feel like you are alone. You feel like nobody is standing with you. You feel like nobody understands what you're going through. And Jesus surely thought, Peter has no idea what I'm going through in my own mind. And whether Peter knew that Jesus' sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood, and they kept falling asleep, and he kept waking them up, and then finally he says, just like sleep on, boys, you're not getting this, you're not understanding it, my hour's come. He was forgiving to them. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And there's times that we just have to let go of what we think it should be and how we want it to be. And we just say, God, I'm giving it into your hands because you're working something great in my life. So let's stand. Amen. We're going to sing this song that I said. And I talked so much, I already forgot what song I said. Why don't you let go and let God do what he wants to do in you? Amen. And you can come to the altar and pray if you would like to, or you can pray right there in your seats. But look at yourself, amen, and examine yourself. Just let go and let God do what